Now, this is the third in the series on the Holy Spirit of God, and in order to really cover this thoroughly, today I'm going to cover spirit beings in the Bible, so that when we get to the Holy Spirit, we will see that the Holy Spirit never was, never has been, never referred to as a person in the New Testament. Now, let's begin with what is absolutely essential. Let's go to John, the fourth chapter. We've been there before, but let's just review it. And some of these things, they will be in a way of a foundational or review, but so that we can completely cover it and have a very thorough study and analysis of it. John 4 and verse 24 says, God is spirit. Now it says a spirit here, and that means that God is composed of spirit. That's what God is made of. Now we know that God has a mind. We know that God has a face. We know that God has hands. We know he has a body. We know he has feet and legs and so forth. That's all in the Bible. When Jesus was in the flesh, when one of the disciples said, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient, Jesus told him, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if God the Father were in the flesh, he would look just like Jesus. Okay? Now let's go, we'll just refer you here because we've been there. This is another foundational scripture, Isaiah 57:15, where it says that God inhabits eternity, which is a spiritual level of existence that God lives in. Human beings live in the level of the flesh. God lives in the level of the eternal and the spiritual. Now let's go to Daniel, the seventh chapter, and let's see in the Old Testament, let's see something very important concerning God and spirit beings, which we will cover today. We'll cover spirit beings, angels, and demons. Daniel, the seventh chapter. Daniel 7 and verse 9. And I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, his hair of his head like pure wool. Now this goes right back. You might even have in your margin referring to Revelation, the first chapter, because it shows what God looks like in kind of a far-off, distant thing, in vision, as a spirit being. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels were as burning fire. And that ties right in with the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel talks about the cherubim and the seraphim and the spirit of God and the, as it were, the that vehicle, which we could call the chariot of God, if we could use that terminology. Verse 10, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, the books were open. Okay? So, this gives us a view as to what it is like on the level of eternity that God inhabits. And it's a level of existence that we cannot fully grasp or understand. It'd be, you know, can you imagine seeing something like that? I wonder what Daniel thought when he saw that. Wow. You know, Daniel had quite a few things that he saw, as we'll see here in a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews, the first chapter, because Hebrews, the first chapter, ties all of this in together. God, Christ, angels, and men. Hebrews, the first chapter. Now, this tells us, as we go through, about God and Christ. Let's just begin in verse 1, and we'll go right through and pick out the essential things concerning what we're covering. But I think it's important that we cover spirit beings, because no place in the New Testament does it say that the Holy Spirit is or was God. And in the Old Testament, there are only three places which talks about the Holy Spirit, which then has to do with something that God gives and has nothing to do with a person. So I think it's important that we cover the structure of spirit beings as revealed in the Bible. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in different manners or diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, which then tells us an awful lot about God. There's the right hand, the work, the purging of the sins. Jesus purged all of the sins himself. Okay? Express image in the Greek there is character. So he has the character of God. Now, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. Now that means by the power of the resurrection. Okay? When he came back to take his life, as it were, as God. He has obtained by inheritance a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day I've begotten you? None. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the first begotten into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, that's an interesting statement, because it is the first begotten, and that shows that when Jesus was in the flesh. So even while Jesus was in the flesh, the angels worshiped him. Remember, there were people who worshiped Jesus while he was in the flesh. Remember the blind man? He said he didn't know who it was that healed him. And he said, well, the one who healed you, I am he. And the blind man worshiped him. Okay? So even when he was in the flesh, he was worshiped. When you compare that with what John did when the angel brought the message to him, he bowed down to worship the angel, and the angel said, don't worship me, worship God alone. Okay. Now, verse 7, a key thing concerning angels in relationship to God. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits. They are made spirit beings. And his ministers a flame of fire. Now, let's come out and come over here to verse 13, and we'll talk a little bit more about the angels. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that are heirs of salvation? So each angel is a unique creation by God, sent forth to do the work of God, what God wants done. Now, there are many different things that you can read in the Bible about angels and the things that happen. We'll look at some of them and how they work and what they do. Let's look in the Old Testament. Let's go to Genesis 19. And we will see how the angels, as spirit beings, and they can manifest themselves to appear as men. And we will see a little later that the angels that have sinned and rebelled cannot manifest themselves in a way that is, how should we say, direct and personal like the angels. Now, in Hebrews 13, it says that entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. Okay? Now, with demons, they have, because they've been perverted, because they have rebelled, their nature has changed. Just like someone who's been given over to evil, their nature has changed. So they cannot manifest themselves as appearing to be human beings. Okay, Genesis 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at night, And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up and met them, and bowed himself with his face toward the earth. This is homage due someone of a high office. This is not worshiping them. And he said, Behold, my lords, turn in, I pray you, to your servant's house, and tarry, or that is, remain all night. Wash your feet, rise up early in the morning, and go on your way. So he knew that they were, how should we say, prominent individuals from just the way they walked in, just the way they were dressed. I don't know what sort of relationship people had with angels then, but even when you look at some of the mythology of the ancient times, there is a greater interplay between angels and demons and mythology and all of this sort of thing than we have today. Well, you know what happened. The angels were there. You can read the rest of the account. They had supernatural powers. They blinded those people who wanted to come in and molest them and take Lot's daughters. Okay, so they were ministering spirits sent to minister to Lot and his family. And how did they do that? They rescued them from the destruction. And unfortunately, Lot's own family was so involved in the society that they didn't even believe. And his wife wasn't too convinced of it, and so she turned around and looked at when they were told not to look, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, now let's go to Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and let's see what angels do in carrying out the work of God. And we find here in Numbers 22, we find the problem and difficulty of Balaam. Okay? And so Balaam pleaded and went, and yes, he finally went, and he went on his way. And we see that the angel of God intervened, and the angel of God was apparent. Let's pick it up here in verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. Okay, now, Balaam couldn't see the angel right then. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her again into the way. So angels have to make themselves manifest. As we could put it this way, the spectrum of human vision is not capable of seeing a spirit being. So the spirit being must then manifest itself in a form which can be seen by a human being. However, here's a donkey who was able to see the angel. Now, I don't know what he did to make himself seen by the donkey, but not seen by Balaam. But they have certain unique powers and things that they're able to do, as evident by this account here. Okay, so Balaam smote the ass to turn her in the way, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, and the wall being on this side and the wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. You know, this is pretty hilarious here when you really think of it. And the angel of the Lord went further, that is further ahead, and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn to the right or to the left hand. Okay? And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. Okay? Poor donkey. Now, here's what God did. An angel, or the Lord, has the power to then make the ass speak. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto you that you have smitten me these three times? And Balaam said to the ass, now notice, just carried on a conversation here, you see. Huh? You know, talk about the movie Talk to the Animals, okay? All right. And Balaam said unto the ass, Because you have mocked me. Nothing like a little bit of arrogant vanity and concerning his position there, huh? I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And the ass said to Balaam, am I not your ass upon which you have ridden ever since I was yours unto this day? And was I ever known to do so unto you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. So there it is right there. You see, God is able to do separate and different things. Now, I've never been around an animal that talked, except a parrot that's been trained, you know. But here this thing was, and Balaam just acted as if it was, or he was so outraged that if the donkey talked to him, he'd just talk right back to it, not thinking of it, you know, not saying, oh, boy, this donkey's talking, you know. So the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his face and fell flat on his face, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, why have you smitten your ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you because your way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless you turned away from me, surely now I also had slain you and saved her alive. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease you, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but the word that I shall speak unto you shall you speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak, and then you know the rest of the story. Balaam could only bless Israel. He could not curse Israel. Okay? So when they got there, let's come down to verse 41. It came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that from there he might see the utmost part of the people. So this shows it was all Baal worship. That's what Balak was doing and the whole thing. So got up there, and all he could do was bless. And so Balaam got the money and ran off, and Balak then didn't quite know what to do. Let's go here to Psalm 68. Let's see some more about angels. Psalm 68 and verse 17. Now, as strange as it may seem, we're going to come to a time when there are going to be a lot of angels doing an awful lot of things. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the book of Revelation, there is more angelic activity there in the book of Revelation than almost any book in the whole Bible. I would have to say there is more angelic activity there than any book of the Bible that the Bible reveals. Okay? Psalm 68 and verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Okay? Just showing that angels have chariots. You can put in your notes there about Elisha and what happened when God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, and they saw, you know, on the hillside, they saw horses and chariots and so forth. These are all various spirit creatures or machines that God has made. Now, I am sure that a chariot made out of spirit is not a spirit being, but a spirit thing. Just like a car that we may have, it is physical, but it is not a physical human being. It is a physical thing. So I'm sure that God has a lot of spirit things that he has made out of spirit, which are not spirit beings, but they are things. For example, New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem has got to be made out of spirit things. Has to be. But New Jerusalem is not a person. It is a city. Okay, here we have their chariots of God, 20,000, even thousands of angels that apparently manned them. All right, let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 49. And this gives us another little insight concerning what happened in Egypt when he brought the children of Israel out and sent all the plagues. That was all done, not only by the word of the Lord, but it was done by angels. Okay? We find here in verse 49, and he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. So that's how God took care of the evil of the Egyptians, sent the evil angels to do it. Okay, they carried out the will of God. Evil angels, he is talking about demons. Let's go back to Revelation 12 and see that. Let's go back to Revelation 12 and see that. Okay. And then we will get into the New Testament, and we'll see some good angels, and then we'll see some evil angels, or unclean spirits, as they are called. Revelation 12. Okay, again, this is a very foundational scripture, and in a way, it should be something that we should all know and have memorized, and to understand, you know, that these basic scriptures are basic and necessary for us to really know, because as we go through and study the Bible, then if something comes up in your mind you don't quite understand, then you've got a basic scripture to go back to draw upon, so you can be able to have the Bible then interpret what you have read. So here in Revelation 12, we find the account of Satan, who fell from heaven. We will see this a little later on. It says here in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Okay, now, let's use a little bit of Bible interpretation here, that stars equal angels. And we will see this reinterpreted here right in chapter 12. Now, just where do you go to show that a star equals an angel? Okay, you go to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, just hold your place right here in Revelation 12. Okay? Here then is how you let the Bible interpret itself. Revelation, the first chapter. Okay? Now, in this case, these are good angels, if we could put it that way. They're good and bad. Evil and righteous. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 20 of Revelation, the first chapter. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. You should put colon right there, okay? Because here's the answer. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Okay? Angel also means messenger. Because they carry a message from God. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Revelation 12 again, and let's see if we get a further confirmation of this Bible interpretation of a star. Okay? Now, let's go back to Revelation 12:4. Okay? And this is then how you build precept upon precept. We're doing this. Okay? Remember, we gave the Bible studies on how to study the Bible and how to use precept upon precept. Well, this is exactly what we're doing here. And as we go through this series with the Holy Spirit, we're also going to end up in a sermon or two, what do you mean born again? Because then one flows right from one right into the other. Okay, Revelation 12:4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. All right, now how do we know that these stars were angels? How do we know? Do we have an interpretation of this? Yes, we do, in just a minute. Did cast them to the earth. Okay, let's look in the book of Jude. Hold your place here. Hold your place here. Let's go to the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. Okay. Book of Jude. No chapter, just verse 6. Okay, it's talking about the result of sin. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, how did they leave? By rebelling and going and warring against God. Apparently the angels were on the earth here before man was on the earth. It says, has he reserved in darkness, in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now, let's go back here to Revelation 12 again. Okay. So we have his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Now let's come down to verse 9. Oh, verse 7. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Now some people claim that that war just occurred just recently. I don't think so. I think when this occurs, it's going to be a fantastic thing. There are going to be some signs in heaven that we know that something is taking place. I don't think it's going to be just something that there will be no manifestation of it for us on this earth. Okay? Michael and his angels fought. Now, this tells us that Michael, who is called an archangel in another place, has angels under him. So God has all the angels organized. We'll see a little bit about Michael a little later on, Michael and Gabriel. Fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. So there we have it. We put it all together, you see. The angels that left their habitation were the ones who rebelled. They're the ones who followed Satan. The righteous angels kept their habitation. Why? Because they are ministering spirits of God to minister unto those who are heirs of salvation. So these are spirit beings. Okay? Angels. Now, just for the sake of understanding the Greek language, angels in the Greek is pronounced angelos. The gender definition for an angel is pronounced ha, which is the angelos. So angels are categorized in the male sense. Okay? Angels are categorized in the male sense. Ha angelos. Now, what else does it tell us about angels? Let's hold your place here just a minute. We'll come back. The question was asked, is this not the same principle as to why they are called the sons of God? Yes, that's precisely so. That is exactly so. Okay? Okay, we find here in Mark the 12th chapter. Mark the 12th chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 23. This is after Jesus was questioned by the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection. So they ask a question concerning the resurrection. And the answer is simple. They were wondering whose wife of the seven brothers she would be in the resurrection. And that's a completely, how shall I say, unknowledgeable question. Because physical marriage is binding until what? Till death. So if they all die at the resurrection, nobody's married to anybody. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here in answering the question. Verse 24, Jesus answering said to them, Do you not therefore err? Because you know not the scriptures. Boy, what an indictment against them, huh? You know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven.
It's also in Matthew.
It's also in Matthew. What chapter is it? 22:30. I thought it was in Matthew 22. Okay. Okay, Matthew 22 and verse 30. Okay. So angels, since they are spirit beings, live in what level of existence, since they're made out of spirit? Eternity. The eternal level of living. Okay? Men have been made lower than the angels because we are made of flesh. So in the resurrection, we're not going to worry about who's going to marry whom. Because we'll be as the angels that we won't need to be married, but we will be greater than the angels because we will be the sons of God by the power of the resurrection. Okay? So there we have concerning angels that they don't marry, neither are given in marriage. Then this answers the question then, when you go back to Genesis, the 6th chapter, the first part, where there were giants in the earth, And people say that angels cohabited with women and there were men of renown and so forth. Well, angels do not have the capacity, all right? You have two problems here with that. Number one, angels are not made to have sex. Number two, angels are of a different species, and species do not crossbreed. So you have both of those things. So when you read there, someone says, well, that's a result of angels cohabiting with human women and so forth. That's just a mythological fairy tale that is not true. Okay? All right, let's see what else we have concerning Satan here. Let's go back to Revelation 12 again, and let's finish this off, the section that we're going through in Revelation 12. Now, Revelation 12 and the last part of verse 7 again. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, in the first part of the book of Job, we see that Satan still has access to God. Okay, when this war takes place in heaven, they aren't going to have access to God. Not at all. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So there we have the evil angels. All right, we'll come back to those in a little bit, and we will see that they are called unclean spirits. But let's see the angels of God doing the work of God. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter. And here we're going to see about the angel Gabriel. And we will see that in the book of Daniel, he is also called the man Gabriel. Luke, the first chapter. Luke 1 and verse 19. And they have power to do certain things, okay? So let's go back to verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, of course he was there at the offering of incense at the incense altar inside the first part of the holies in the temple, and Zechariah being the priest, and Gabriel came and stood right there before the altar. So he said to the angel, whereby shall I know this, for I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years? And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. So here, in fact, was probably one of the cherubim indeed standing there, at least the archangel, standing there talking to Gabriel. And am sent to speak to you and to show you these good tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So the angel had the power to just go ahead and put that penalty right upon him for his lack of belief at that particular point. Now we find that the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary. So what I'm able to discern out of the Bible, and I'll let you read those places in the book of Daniel, what I'm able to discern out of that is that the angel Gabriel must have been the angel in charge of all of the things leading up to the birth of Christ. Now we find the angel Michael mentioned, and we find that Michael has to do with carrying out the battles of God. And Michael, in Daniel, the 12th chapter in verse 1, is going to stand and fight for Israel at the time that the forces of Satan want to destroy all of Israel. So Gabriel, we see, functions in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Now let's go to the book of Mark and let's see about the fallen angels or the unclean spirits. Well, before we go to the book of Mark, let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter here. And we will see how then these evil spirits work. We'll see how Satan works. Ephesians, the second chapter, and then we'll go to Ephesians 6 and Acts 16. Okay? Now, you see, the reason people can be deceived on something like the Trinity or the Holy Spirit being a person is because when it's presented to them, whoever presents it does not go back and once again lay the foundation. What they do is come in, and you will see on this one tape that whoever has that about being born again that one of the ministers in Worldwide gave, that they dismiss many of the basic things just sort of like flipping the hand. I mean, wait till you listen to that tape on Born Again, and you're going to be amazed. And people just sit there and go right along with it. Why? Because, as we have seen, people, number one, don't know how to study. And number two, they don't study. Okay? And number three, the ministers are not studying. And so when they present something, they don't go back to the very foundations like we're doing here. Now, for some people who have been well-grounded and well-schooled in the Bible, what we're going through is so basic that it may seem like, boy, this is so rudimentary. Everybody should know this. Well, after hearing this tape, I am sure that most people have not even heard this. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. So if you want to be in the world, accepted by the world, by the society, walking in it, who is the God of this world? Now you see right there, when you come to something like this, you have many different scriptures that should fall right in line. Who is the God of this world? Satan is. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the God of this world. We saw that he fell, we saw that his angels fell. Okay? According to the course of this world, he is the one who gives control politically to rule the world at this particular time. Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Okay? Course of this world. What is he called? According to the prince of the power of the air. Now, prince there is hierarch. And the seven heads and the ten horns that Satan has is the hierarchy of the angels that fell. Now, we know that. We know that Gabriel and Michael have their angels. We saw that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Okay? So there is a hierarchy. We'll see that a little more clearly defined when we come to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Okay, so it is the power of the air. He works through the air, able to communicate thoughts. We've heard it likened before to wavelengths, just like we're sitting here right now in this room, and there are all kinds of wavelengths going through this room. We have radio wavelengths, how many ever stations there may be. We have television wavelengths, how many there ever may be. Plus, we have the electricity and whatever is coming from that. We've got the tape recording machine going, and all of these things are just all part of it. We have the force of gravity. We have all of these things around us, okay? Now, I heard one time that some people can actually, if the dentist works on their tooth in just a certain way, can actually be a radio receiver for stations, and they'll walk around and hear radio stations in their heads. Okay, well, can you imagine what it would be like if we were made in such a way that we could automatically pick up all these radio signals? We'd go stark raving mad, you know? So Satan works just like that. He has the power to do it. That's why you see in certain movies like, what was it, Return of the Jedi, you know, things like that. What you're seeing when you see that is a physical manifestation of how the demons work. And I've often thought, who's that little miserable thing with the pointed ears? Yoda. I often thought that Yoda probably is the closest to what Satan actually may look like. The demons cannot manifest themselves in clear images of human beings. Okay? There can be an apparition, So forth, like when Saul went to the Witch of Endor. Okay. Now that's really going a long way down the ladder, isn't it? From contact with God to having to consult the Witch of Endor to find out his fate. Okay. So, anyway, there is a spirit that comes from Satan that locks in or that is tuned in to the spirit of man. Okay, which is called the spirit of this world. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, please. Okay, we'll come back to the Ephesians, second chapter. Just hold your place right here, and we'll come right back. Sometimes it's good to have 20 fingers when you're studying the Bible. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. And there is a spiritual power that comes from Satan that is the spirit of this world. And it manifests itself. Now this is not possession. This is just control, if you could put it that way. It manifests itself in the different organizations, in the different governments, in the different social clubs, i.e. like the Elks and the Masons and, all of that stuff. Those are all demonically inspired and controlled. Knights of Columbus, the whole thing. That is the spirit of this world. And that comes from Satan the devil. We are to what? Not be of this world. Now let's just hold your place right here and let's go to John 17. Okay. If you are of this world, you're affected by the spirit of this world because Paul says we have not received the spirit of the world. But we have received the spirit which comes from God. If you have the spirit of the world, which comes from Satan the devil, be it totally involved in demonism, being it influenced by the organizations that he controls, as we'll see in Ephesians 6, whatever it may be. Okay? We are to not be of this world. In other words, we are not to have the manifestation of Satan's way coming into our lives because we have received the Spirit of God.